I'm Tukettalo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Today I'm here with my grandma, Jacqueline or Jackie Blitz, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of my family and her experience of life and relate it back to politics and all the crazy shit that's happening right now. So, Grandma, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, and it's so nice to see you and my daughter Sharon here.
Oh, yeah, and my mother's in the corner, probably interrupt a little bit here and there with some stuff. We're a very funny Jewish family. So, Grandma, do you want to tell us like a little bit about where our family's from?
Well, yes, I will. My mother came to this country when she was about 3. She remembers starting school here at a young age. She came with her mother and father, and she came with her one sister, Anna, who was a little younger. And while they were in the United States, her mother gave birth to 2 other children. One was Aunt Molly, and then after Aunt Molly came Uncle Louie. They were just about 2 years apart.
And aren't I named after Aunt Molly, sort of, in like a weird way? Because my understanding is like you're supposed to be in it's like a Jewish thing. You're supposed to be named after your aunt, but like, if you don't know, people listening, my name is Tukettalo on the radio, but my birth given name is Maddie or Madeline. And I think my mom had a friend who named her kid Molly, so she couldn't name me Molly, so she picked an M name. Is that what it is?
I didn't like the name Molly for you.
Yeah. But you couldn't name me Molly.
I couldn't name you Molly, and I needed to pick a name that started like with the sound M.
So. Can I clarify that?
Yeah.
You definitely, Mommy may not remember, but I remember my Aunt Molly never married, and we spoke, and she said, you know, someday, maybe, if you don't have anyone who you feel that you want to, or you would want to name, if you would name a child after me, I would love that. And I said, at that time, she was close to me. She wasn't married. She didn't have any children to use her name. And I said yes, and I didn't use Molly because Mom didn't like it. And I love the name Madeline because it was an actress once named Madeline Carroll. But you definitely are named after Molly.
I know that.
Yeah. Well, you.
I wasn't saying no.
Yeah. Well, it
but
sounded.
But I wasn't going to name her Molly. I needed an M-sounding name.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
Then if I wanted to name her, or after Grandma Ethel, I was going to name her Elliot, maybe if she was a boy.
Yeah.
Oh my
so,
God.
So, well, the middle name of Aunt Molly is
Alicia.
Ethel.
Your Madeline Alicia is for.
Oh my God. So if you don't know my name, my full name, if everybody who's trying to, you know, find me because I say crazy things on the radio, my name is Madeline Alicia, and the Alicia spelled with an E. And I'm always like, was my mother on crack when she named me that?
There's a lot of Alicias with an E.
Okay. I never met any.
That's Alicia with an A.
Okay. Well, whatever.
I think you have a beautiful name.
Okay, well, nobody uses it. Everybody knows me as Tukettalo on What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. So our family's from Russia, and they came here. You said that you were telling me a little earlier that Grandma Ethel thinks they left from Odessa, but she was so young that she doesn't really know.
Yes, well, that was her. She had a thought. She had to think a little bit. At first, she didn't know where, and then she thought and she remembered that they lived from Odessa, and I assume they lived fairly close to that area.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's family, if you want to know.
Oh, I do want to know.
Yeah, they came what was known as Romania at that time, but I think that section went back and forth and became Russia and Romania. And I
so
know,
we're from Romania, not Poland.
No, not
that's
Poland.
That's Grandpa Jack's side of the family.
Oh, Grandpa's side of the family is Polish. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to Grandpa later.
Okay.
The women come first.
Okay, women come first. Okay.
And now where was I up to?
Romania with your father.
Romania. Now, my father, if there was a place Bessarabia. He belonged to a society, a cemetery society. Young men of Bessarabia. So there may be a section at that time in Romania called Bessarabia. I'm not sure.
What is this? I don't understand. It's a cemetery? What is this?
Well, it was an association. This happened quite frequently. A group of people who came from the same area, who knew each other, they would buy several plots in the cemetery, and that would be reserved for them.
They did this in Romania?
Hmm?
They did this in Romania, or once they got to America?
Oh, when they came to America.
Oh, okay. So they bought it from people that he was nearby in Romania. And they,
a group. They probably would meet in a society or so, and then they bought.
It's like an Elks Club for dead people.
It's an Elks Club for dead people, my mother says.
Yeah.
So they're from Romania. So wait, what's my great-grandfather's name again? I don't even know. I know Ethel, and then there's Grandma Ethel.
Oh, my father's...
David.
Are we up to my father?
Yeah, we're talking about...
We're up to my father. My father's name was Jacob.
Jacob. So your
No, her grandfather's name was Jacob. My grandfather's name was Grandpa David, right? Your actual father.
My father's name is David.
Right.
Father's name was Jacob.
So Jacob came over from Romania, not David.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I am named after my grandfather, my father's father, who died before I was born. And that's where Jacqueline comes from. Jacqueline. Yankel is the Yiddish, mm-hmm. whatever.
And I want to say one thing. Maiden name is Herman, but that was how they did it at Ellis Island. It was really Garrett.
I'm going to get to that. Sorry. Please let me get to that.
My grandma is very irritated by my mother, and my mother is just like me.
I knew you were going to bring it up.
I was. Right. Well, then just ask. Okay. I was.
Okay, so I'm telling my mother that she should take the chair and come move a little closer so we can
hear
her.
Yeah, that's easy. I don't have to turn my
head.
So
when I'm going to talk, I will.
Yeah, okay. All right. So you were telling me about... So he's from Romania. Grandpa Jacob came over from Romania. Grandpa Jacob came from Romania.
Yes, yes.
Was David born yet, or was David born once they were in America?
My grandfather Jacob came with his wife named... I'm getting all mixed up now. Let me think now.
If you don't have it, it's fine. We can move on.
Just give me a minute. Oh, my grandmother's name was Amalka.
Amalka?
Amalka, yes.
Amalka. Just Malka, not Amalka?
No, just Malka, M-A-L-K-A, or whatever. And my sister was named after her. Her name is Mildred, was named Mildred. And then I had a brother, Seymour, but we're getting off the issue.
Oh, and didn't Seymour have a monkey?
No.
Yes, he did have a monkey. The kids.
My brother never had a monkey.
His kids did.
They never had a monkey. They never had a monkey.
They had a monkey in the cage.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not.
Are you telling me I forgot my...
When Uncle Seymour's children were little, Jonathan and David, you thought they were nuts because he let them get a monkey.
And they
had a monkey.
They
had a little monkey, like a squirrel monkey, in the bedroom, and there's shit everywhere.
I don't remember that at all.
That's because it was exciting for me to be near a monkey.
This is so funny.
Maybe they had a gerbil or something like that.
No, a gerbil.
Whatever, something like that. Is there something like a gerbil?
It's called a gerbil.
A gerbil, whatever. I know
we're... All right, we're off the
track. All right, so I want to know, what kind of stuff was our family fleeing from when they came to America?
What were they saying? They were fleeing from the Christians.
From the pogroms.
From the pogroms. Well, the pogroms was conducted by the Christians.
Speak over this way. Can you say it again?
What?
Who was conducted by the Christians?
Who was what?
Who were talking about? The pogroms?
Yeah.
Who are they? Who is that?
Where was...
The Cossacks.
The Cossacks.
The Kazakhs, yeah.
And they were trying to get rid of the Jews, or were they trying to get rid of
them? Well, no, they just wanted to kill them because in the year, before the year one, they supposedly turned Christ into the Romans. So the church had a tendency to forget about the Romans doing the killing, and they emphasized that the Jews killed them. And in their sermons, of course, in the New Testament, they say the Jews will, you know, God will punish them forever. Or words.
So then the Cossacks were going around pretty much killing random people, but the Jews mostly?
Mostly the Jews they concentrated on.
Mom, do you remember when Grandma, she told me, I know you don't remember the monkey, but maybe you'll remember, Grandma used to talk about how she was hiding. When she could hear,
Story. Her brother. Why she came to the United States was Christmas was a big day in Russia and for the Christian people. So I heard from several people. My girlfriend in Poland who came when she was 17. She said that she remembers at Easter, they would be so afraid. She lived in Poland. She came from Poland, not Russia. That's how they would come home from church, change their clothes, and then go and have a nice program on Easter, because it reminded them that the Jews killed Christ.
They would have a nice what?
Pogrom.
A program.
What's this? This is when they go around. Then
they go killing and shooting. Oh, and that's one reason my mother's family came to the United States, because she had a little brother who was killed that day.
Wait, Ethel?
Ethel?
Yes.
I never heard that ever. Yes. So she ever had, in my whole life.
Well, because she didn't.
How old was he?
A little.
So they were killed by the Cossacks in a pogrom. So there's the Cossacks.
Like
a group.
Shooting
so
through
the Cossacks are a group in the pogrom. Pogrom is the name for the action.
Yeah, for what they
so,
do.
So, wow. So I have a great uncle that was killed.
You never told me that my whole life.
So I didn't tell you. It's, as a matter of fact.
It's a pretty big deal.
That picture that I showed you that is hip destroyed, there was a little boy sitting on the top of there. But the picture was...
So Grandma Ethel
had a little brother.
And she also had a little sister, Anna, in Russia.
Yes, right.
And a little baby boy. And
right.
He was killed.
Right.
Do you know how... Was he shot? Was he...
I don't know the details. He was a little girl.
Oh, my God.
He was shot. They would shoot through the... whatever.
How come it was never
my girlfriend.
Never, ever.
All
Grandma
right.
Ethel never told
my
me.
My girlfriend... Oh, I can't think.
She was little, so it didn't really...
You know my girlfriend, Ray. Ray.
Oh, Mrs.
Ray Cullen. She said she was a little girl, and she remembered on that day they used to hide, and all the Jews would, like, close their shutters if they had it, and they would make dark, hoping that things wouldn't get too bad.
Oh, my God.
When Ray went to school... She hardly ever went to school because they didn't have shoes.
Oh, my God.
But when she went to school, not mostly in the spring, she said she went to sleep hungry most of the time. She had terrible cramps. I didn't know that you had cramps when you were starving.
I mean, yeah. Your
and her mother, she never mentioned her father. I don't know what happened to him. But in the spring, her mother would go out and get, like, there was a grass that had onion flavor. You would cook it.
Oh, I know what you mean. The
yeah. I had some in my backyard.
She had it when we were little.
She would cook it. Sometimes she had a little breadcrumbs. Oh. They oh, Mama, this is so delicious. And she would say, can we have a little more? She says, no, I have to save it for tomorrow.
Wow.
But when Ray went to school, they had a pair of shoes. Her mother would make her hold it and give her a rag to wipe her feet off and then wear her shoes. When she got to school, most of the time they would throw either do one or the other. They would say to her, they would throw rocks at her and call her a dirty Jew.
Oh, my God.
Or her experience was like when she would go in, they would, her clothes. They said, she said, you always had clean clothes and the mother sewed it. But they hardly had any clothes. They would make fun of her clothes. And they say, Bonnie, where's your gold, Jew?
Oh, my God.
The little kids.
Where's your gold? Like, where's your gold?
Gold
you, like,
gold.
Greedy Jews.
Jews were rich, and the temple, they had gold. They still had gold. She said, we didn't have bread to eat. And they did that because the Jews have gold. Oh. And that's the thinking of the people in Poland, mm-hmm. probably to this day.
So my question is, I have one more question. What did our family do? Like, what did, like, Grandma Rebecca, or great-grandma Rebecca, and, like, great-grandmother, grandfather Beryl, like, what did they do? Or great, I guess great-great for me. Like, what were their jobs in Russia? Like, what did they do?
Oh, I don't know. My grandfather Beryl, when he came to this country, he was an ironmonger. An ironmonger or something. He melted steel or something in front of a furnace. Mm-hmm. It was very hot. There was no air conditioning or anything. And that was his job.
What did your father say? What did Jacob do?
No,
Dave.
Jacob, my father's father, he was a furrier when he came to this country.
That? A furrier?
Yeah.
Make fur coats.
Wait, who?
He made fur coats? Your grandfather, Jacob.
Yeah. Interesting. And all his sons went into the fur business. My father, David, he had a...
Where's all those furs now?
Huh?
Where are all those
furs? I have a gorgeous lamb.
Oh, I have a lamb coat. Wow. Which I still have, like, my father made that for my 21st birthday. I still have it.
You should check it out. It's beautiful.
I will.
And he, his brother, Benjamin, was a furrier. He had they were all older than him. He was the youngest son. Nathan was a furrier. Max was a furrier. Max, Benny.
Well, that was before fur was a no-no.
Four sons.
How religious were they?
Hmm?
How religious was our family? Like, how Jewish religiously? Obviously, we're culturally Jewish, but, like, how religious?
Well, my father always made a point to get up, like, on the Jewish holidays before Rosh Hashanah and all. He always went to the cemeteries for whoever was buried there, his parents, maybe his uncles. He would leave
the house. Honored the deaths very much.
He would leave at 6 o'clock in the morning or earlier. He would come home about 6 o'clock at night because we didn't have a car naturally. Mm. And he would go from cemetery for cemetery. And then he always went to services on Rosh Hashanah.
Your father.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
And you were telling me before that your grandparents lived over on Avenue C in the East Village.
By whom? My grandparents?
Yeah, lived in Avenue C.
I don't know what they did there. I imagine they too went to a synagogue or so.
But where did you grow up?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
Bensonhurst, I believe. And we moved to the Bronx when I was very little.
Where in the Bronx?
Well, first we lived on, I know the street. Oh, gosh, I it was off Westchester. Remember the street. It was off Westchester Avenue, and the street was called Crows Avenue. I think it was C-R-O-E-S.
What neighborhood was this? Were there trains right where you lived back then?
It was train.
Were there subway trains back then?
Well, I guess my father went to work with a subway, I suppose, not a bus. But it was we lived in I think it was a two-family house. It was a lot of brick two-family houses. And next door to the corner, there was a lot. There were no houses there. And we had a porch, I remember, because I remember my grandmother coming a few times. She died when I was 7 or 6. I remember she sat on the porch a few times, you know, we spoke or whatever. I remember once I was giving her lunch, we were pretending I cut a little apple, and she said, oh, this is so delicious. it was a quiet neighborhood. It was, I just remember
was
the boys.
Jewish?
Do you go to Jewish school or public school?
The landlord was Italian. He lived downstairs. I remember his name. We had a barber shop downstairs in the downstairs. And what did you ask me?
Did you go to Jewish school or public
school?
No,
public school. I went to public school. We moved when I was about, seven, we moved. I went to where I grew up and where I stayed until I was married and where Grandma lived until she got older and she broke her hip and she went to a related care center or something. Mm-hmm. And
this is Ethel?
Yes,
Grandma. And how old were you when this happened?
How old I was when this... Oh, I was grown up with children already. Sharon wasn't...
Yes, Irene.
Were you married? No, I was going to say, let me...
No, I wasn't married because Grandma died when I was in college.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So what I wanted to... So let's go on to some more, like, political things. I want to know, like... So you were in America. How old were you when World War II was going on and the Holocaust?
I remember sitting in the car, my Aunt Nancy and her husband, that was my David, my father's younger sister, Nancy. He had an older sister too, Naomi. There were six kids. Oh my God. At any rate, she must have been visiting my family. And she had a daughter, Ruby Ann, who probably was about 10 at the time or 9.
How old were you?
15. So we were sitting in the car. We had the radio on. And I remember hearing something about Pearl Harbor and fighting.
Isn't that World War One? Why am I thinking?
World War Two.
World War Two is Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so bad at this.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
I might have to edit that part out.
And
I thought it was... World War One too. Well, because Pearl Harbor, how did the Japanese get involved with the Germans? They did.
World War Two was.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Well, it was the Japanese who bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right, but why did? How did that? What was that separate from the Germans?
Yeah. We had to fight Europe, and we had to fight after the war ended in World War II, and the Germans surrendered. We had to go finish the fight with Japan, right. But in between, we were going to different islands.
It led to the entry of World War II. The attack on, so you were being 50. I just want to say to all our listeners, apparently my mother and I were falling asleep that day in history class. Pearl Harbor is World War II, and this is coming from a girl who's like, read your history books. It's not about you, about how I'm always like, oh, World War II, I'm always like talking about how read your history books. Otherwise, you know, if you read your history books, you would be on the side of Black Lives Matter because you would know that blah, 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 that the white moderates were against MLK. So Pearl Harbor, World War II. Here we go. We're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Okay.
Can I interrupt to say, well, don't feel badly that you don't know too much about Pearl Harbor, or though the newspapers, if you read newspapers, for many years they would commemorate that terrible day by saying this is the 25th anniversary, 20th anniversary, etc. But I saw a history book when I was going to Union College, which was in 1970, and I was interested in seeing the history book of current history book. And for World War II, they had 3 paragraphs. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Many, many deaths were caused, and ships sunk, and the planes destroyed. And then they go on, and we also, the Germans, and they committed some bad things. I said, I can't believe that they put 3 paragraphs of the World War II with hundreds and tens of thousand people killed, and that's all they had to say.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, but I mean, when they write about the civil rights movement, they're just like, MLK. But so I want to know, so you said you were in this car and you heard about Pearl Harbor.
Yes. So I said, oh, somebody must be looking for pearls in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, you were 15, so you were like, what?
Yeah.
But like, when did you grasp that there was like a war going on?
Oh, immediately, when I went upstairs and my folks had the I was quite advanced in my for my age in certain aspects, really. So I found out we were, I said, are we in war? So he says, well, yeah. And then I remember we listened to the radio for a long time, but I was so young that my folks went to sleep and I was listening to the radio. And my father said, go to sleep. I said, maybe the war's going to end. Yeah.
So when did you understand that, like, there was, like, a genocide going on in Germany or in Europe? Like, when did you understand that there was, like, an attack pretty much on everybody who was not, like, Aryan, you know, who wasn't, like, blonde hair, blue eyed, like, because, you know, the Holocaust was Jews, but it was also, like, Roma, like, all these different people. Like, when did you understand that pretty much everybody who was not Aryan white was being attacked overseas? I mean, were you aware of that during World War II, or did you?
I can't remember. I think I was aware close to the end of the World War II with the Germans, when the Germans surrender, because they had newsreels. When you went to the movies, you saw what they did. You saw the camp. But I remember when I was younger, I had a friend, Beatrice, two houses down. And there was this young man talking to some of her. That was a four-family house. After I moved from Upper Bronx, Westchester, we lived in a four-family house, which was very similar to the one that we left the area and whatever. But Beatrice had four people of the same family lived in that house. They had four apartments, and they was talking to this young man. I guess maybe he was in his early 20s, and Beatty and I were there. We were kids.
How old were you?
I don't know. I think probably I was about 12 or 11.
So this was before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, because you said you were 15 when you heard the news.
Yeah. It was about. So he came from Germany, and he was talking to these people, and we were listening. And he said, "Oh, he didn't hear from his parents, you know, for a long time. He was sending money, but then he never heard, and he was going to stop sending money because they were gone." So I was young. I butted in and I said something like, "Oh, maybe they moved, you know, stuff like that."
I don't think that a lot of people really knew what was going on.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But not the Americans, the Germans knew. But at
any
but see, that's so interesting.
Then I, years later, it must have been after the war ended, he was there again, and I remembered him. He didn't remember us, so I said to him, did you ever find your parents' address or something like that? So he looked at me. He says, what? I said, I remembered you were talking about. He says, how old are you? He says, No, I didn't hear them. I never found out their address, so I knew they were dead, you know.
You think they had been taken away by the Germans? Yeah. By the Nazis?
Address unknown.
So he was like a German Jew, his parents. Yeah, scary. So this makes me think about, like, the availability of information. Like, people here didn't really understand because they only really had radio and movies. Like, now we know everything within seconds with the internet. Yeah. Like, I could look, you know, I knew that the North Korean president was or the South Korean president was impeached last week.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, but I'm saying, like, would you have found that out that quickly here back then? Maybe on the radio if you were listening. No.
Well, now that you're talking more, I'm thinking, I remember there was some, maybe it was after the war when different groups were trying, I guess the American Jewish Congress or so, was trying to get the State Department or Roosevelt to bomb the tracks that were that were delivering the people to the death camps, and they wouldn't do it. Because people escaped and reporters were there, the news came back. I don't think I knew about that until after the war, but during the war, the people in the know knew what was happening, and Washington knew what was happening, and the State Department knew what was happening.
So how do you feel, like, as, like, a Jewish person? Or how did, like, how, like, when did it, like, dawn on you that, like, our people were being targeted, like, so heavily overseas? Like, did it affect you?
I think I was aware to a certain degree, but I don't know if I really knew until after the war when all the publicity came. Of course, by that time I was 19 or 18 and a half that I knew that.
So I guess we could, like, switch gears for, like, a little bit. And, like, so I just want to know, like, you know that, like, a lot of Jews were, like, rejected from coming here during the Holocaust, like refugees.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how do you feel about, like, refugees being rejected from coming here today?
Of refugees today, the refugees today, I feel the circumstances are not the same in regard to the general happenings. The refugees who were refused came mostly from the death camps. They weren't terrorists.
She's talking about before. Let me finish.
Wait, okay.
There was several boats that, like, went to Florida during the...
Took a little what?
Several boats tried to dock in Florida that were escaping the Nazis and were rejected and sent back to Germany to die.
No, you're actually not understanding what's happening. I'm asking Grandma how she feels about today with the refugees. Yeah, I know, but we're talking about... You're actually distracting. We're not talking about anything that you're talking about.
Yeah, you're talking about something else.
I'm talking to you about, like, people from, like, the Middle East or people who are trying to be refugees from, like, Syria. How do you feel?
I'm sorry. I can't see letting 120,000, 10,000 people coming out without documenting who they are. You have people blowing themselves up.
But aren't those, like, the minority? Those are the minority of those people.
The minority.
People.
But who do you know, these minorities who come to this country and bomb the Holland Tunnel? How do you know they could come the same day and destroy the bridges in the United States?
But what about, like, the little white boys from our country who shoot up churches and shoot up...
They're guilty too.
And what about the people who are already in this country who are, like, KKK, neo-Nazis, threatened?
What's your point?
I guess my point is, like, do you see any correlation between, like, what's happening right now to Muslims and people from the Middle East and like, Jews during the Holocaust not being allowed to come here? Do you think that there's, like, any, like, do you think that, like, when we look...
Do I think there's any what?
Any, like, similarity? Do you think we're going to look back in, like, 50 years?
No.
Why not?
No. Because I just explained to you to the best as I can, it was a different situation. You have people, you could say people do terrible things who have been here for 10 generations. True, but their great, great, great parents might not have done this when they came in. They may have, Australia, the original people in Australia, the white people, most of them came from prisons. Do you know that Australia was settled purposely by the English from the rotten people in Australia to get rid of them?
But what about, okay, so, like, you see, like, a boat full of people coming from Nazi Germany. They're in, yeah, they've never done anything terroristic. These are moms and babies and kids.
Well, how do you feel about, like, Syrian
so that, what
moms?
About, like, Syrian moms and their babies getting, like, blown up and starving and... They didn't do
bring
anything.
Them food.
They
were, oh, you want to know what to
but
do?
But they were living there, and all of a sudden, they're living in their house, and their house gets bombed. And they have children.
You don't think
what
like
happened? What happened in England when the German bombed them and destroyed London, and there was a blitz? The people came and fight. So why don't these people fight? They can't fight because they're controlled. They don't have any guns or anything. So, but you don't. It's true, most of the people are good people, but all you need is 20 people out of 10,000. They could do a lot of destroying, and you can't compare then to now. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody says. Look at Boston, where they blew up people.
Those people were born here. They came here many, many years ago, those kids. Those
do you think
boys.
That I want to make a point,
they
though.
Came from Russia, by the way. They were Russian.
Okay, there are exceptions.
So I guess what I want to ask you, Grandma, I want you to wait for a little bit. I want you to stay out of it, Mom.
Yeah,
do you think that there's do you think that there's any? Okay, so
during the Holocaust, Hitler used to publish the crimes of Jews. He would publish the crimes, any crime a Jew committed, he would publish. So, like, I'm saying, do you think that there's any amount of truth to this? Yes, there have been Muslim extremists who have bombed things, but I, and like we said, like, they were from Russia. People, do you think there's any amount of, like, propaganda that's, like, not real, like, leading this, like, Islamophobia and racism against Islam? Do you think that there's any truth to that propaganda and that some of it's just being spread?
But so what's the propaganda?
Well, the propaganda that, like, these... So, first of all, the country, you know, the Muslim ban, where they were banning people from coming here in general?
Well, I think...
No, but you know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about Trump recently?
Yeah.
Well, Trump did it too hastily. He doesn't think things through, number one. He should not have done when people were at the airport who had their visas or from Muslim countries, he had no right to turn them back. What he should have done was say, temporarily, we want to investigate you as best we can. Who are you? Where are you coming from? You have a visa. Did you get it? Whatever. There's a lot of things wrong in this country with immigration going back years and years ago when people would call me fascist. Could I go off the thing?
You were a fascist? You were a fascist?
Yeah. Oh, me of all bad. People. Because I said years ago, I said, when the Mexicans came across the border, they needed the job, they needed the work. Give them a visa to come in for 6 months to help and everything, and let them say you cannot go back. You have to register with us. When you go back, we'll give you a pass to go back. And at the end of the year for next season, you'll come back. Some control. They came across the border. Many of them, I can't blame them in their situation. I may do the same. They came when they were pregnant in the 8th month to have their baby here. I don't blame them. But you can't. You have rules and you have regulations. And this is a country. And you have to control your borders. And that's what I think.
So that's one thing. That doesn't sound like fascist to me, really. Well, but that doesn't sound fascist. But what I do think is, how do you feel about the fact that, like, this country was settled by white people and a lot of people who are in Mexico would actually be more indigenous to this land than we are? Just because, like, you know, because the indigenous people of the Americas migrated a lot, so that there are people in Mexico whose families are probably from the very land we're living on right now. So it's weird.
So what's that got to do with generations later?
Well, I mean, it's just interesting. Just interesting to me that, like, people in Mexico are seen as foreigners when really we're the newer people here. Well, do you know what I'm saying?
If foreigners be... Well, then you can say we're all Indians.
Well, I mean, but we're not. I'm saying
we're all American Indians.
But you know, like, what's happening right now with, like, the pipelines and, like, Native Americans' lands being messed with. So I guess the reason why is because a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the stuff that's going on with Mexico and Mexicans has to do with NAFTA deals we made with them that makes it that they have very little resources there, so they literally have to come here and they blame them. It's very screwed. But I want to go back to this the Muslim thing for a minute. So you think that Trump did it too hastily? You don't think it's comparable to the Holocaust at all? You don't think that that there's any amount of media demonization against them, or like there's something where people are making it more sensationalist than it is? If you actually look at the amount of terrorist attacks, if you look at the actual statistics of this, more terrorist attacks are committed by, like, shooters and people in America. Mass shootings and stuff in America.
I don't look at that.
But I'm saying
that has nothing to do. That's a criminal.
No, it
activity
does, but that's terror. I would consider that to be a mass shooting to be terrorism. If somebody came over here from another country and shot up a school, we would call that a terrorist attack. So what I'm saying is, like, I'm saying, statistically speaking, there actually have been not that many, like, bombings from the specific countries we banned from. Do you think do you think that there's any amount of, like, them trying to make, like, Islam look bad so that we can, like, take over that area for oil and resources?
Navy to a certain extent, but the fact remains what is true. You can't compare individuals. There was the mafia. They machine gunned people and robberies. That was within that culture of bad people killing bad people mostly. Mm-hmm. This is the bombing, what you said about that. It could be some underneath
because most of those people are good people. Most people just want to...
I absolutely agree with you. But the fact is, why don't they stay home? Like, there's nothing wrong with Muslims. It's certain Muslims.
It's Muslim extremists. Every kind of Muslim extremists.
Why don't they stay?
Kids,
why don't they stay in their own country and bomb up things in their own country?
Well, they are doing. There are people extremists over there doing that.
Why are they coming here?
I mean, they're doing it. The people who are extremists and violent, whoever they are, Muslim, Christian, whatever. They're going to do it wherever they are.
But why? Instead of going to where we are to come to our country.
No, they're doing it there too.
Good. They should stay there and do it there.
But I'm saying they're doing it here. I'm saying there are violent people everywhere. So I'm saying is, what do we do? I mean, you don't think that we should figure out how to have the peaceful people there be able to be here so that they're not killed, because it's worse over there than it is here. You know, we think we've had a couple attacks here. People in Syria, bomb, and then there are innocent people just in their houses.
Well, now the United States, they're doing it because Obama wants to be nice to everybody.
You don't like Obama?
I did. I voted for him twice.
Oh, okay.
I regret it. I think he has his mind in the cloud. He should have stayed in at the school and have his idealistic things. I believed in him first because I think you should talk.
I mean, do you think he would have been better than Trump? Do you think he's better than Trump?
Trump is a maniac. I think you should talk and you should try to agree with other countries. I think you should compromise. But he was licking their behinds as far as I'm concerned. And he wasn't doing what he ought to. Now we're bombing. We're sending, I see every once in a while, you say the United States or whatever bombed here in Syria, the terrorist, whatever. We're taking some action. We waited too long. He was very ineffective in foreign affairs. He was nice.
So, but what I'm saying is, so regardless of Obama...
Did we get off the subject?
No, I mean, that's fine. Regardless of Obama, do you think that we should be, like, trying to figure out how to get people out of that country?
But not to come to our country until they're checked. I think we should find a place for them to be, give them fairly nice housing. They would have to live together, like in the kibbutzes years ago. The men came, just the men, and they lived in barracks, and then the single women came, they lived in barracks.
So you think we should like put them out and then investigate families and let them come over slowly if they want to come
yes.
to America? Okay. So you still don't think that that's comparable to the Holocaust at all, these people facing extreme violence?
To that extent.
There's a rise of Islamophobia in America and all through the Western Europe. There's massive campaigns against Islam. And honestly, I have to say, like, as like a Jewish person, I know I'm young, I cannot look at it and not feel like it's similar to the Holocaust or similar to the the prejudice against Jews. Like, I look at it and I'm like, this is just
people
creating.
Well, the difference as I see it is, they've always had this trouble in these Muslim countries where they fought amongst each other. They're still fighting amongst each other like they did 2,000 years ago or in the 200s, year 400. They're fighting each other. We at least fight other countries and other countries when they attack us.
Maybe the fighting needs to stop. And I think some of it, though, honestly, some of it in the Middle East might be America in the sense of, like, coming in and trying to get the oil all the time and all that crazy shit and causing... But I don't know. Let's move on from that because we've talked about this for a little bit. So just how do you feel about Donald Trump? I just want to hear how you feel about Donald Trump.
Well, I don't know how to phrase it. I would have this in simplest terms. He's impetuous, and he doesn't. He wants to do something, but he does it without thinking anything through.
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
No.
You voted for Hillary Clinton?
Yes. I'm not crazy about her either. And she... well, if you voted for her, the same garbage would have gone on.
Not as much garbage.
And now we have new garbage. He talks... I mean, I have to agree with a lot of the things that he says, but he doesn't conduct it the right way, and he goes overboard, and he'll say anything to get elected. And now he wanted to show that he's a man of his word. So he does things... what is it? Do a lot of things fast, but he doesn't do anything correctly and in a feasible, meaningful way, so it comes to a good conclusion. He just goes right in there. He's very childish in his thinking.
And do you think he ever sounds like racist and sexist and like awful?
Say that again.
Racist and sexist and awful.
I think he's a loose cannon.
All right. So
well, that goes part of him being impetuous. The mouth can't be controlled.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's on some weird hair growth medication that apparently makes people crazy. Some people have been saying that, and some people are saying that he has Alzheimer's, that this is early signs of Alzheimer's.
Because he could have it.
I mean, they say Ronald Reagan had it, and he's actually quite...
That's an interesting...
He's quite similar to Trump.
Can
in their
I
politics.
Tell you yeah. this, which nobody would really believe except the people who I spoke to at the time? I was sitting here watching television, reading, and I didn't vote for Ronald Trump, but I loved him as an actor.
You love Ronald Reagan, you mean? Okay, yeah.
Ronald, what would I call
him? You called him Ronald Trump or something weird.
You called him
Ivana
Trump.
Well, I loved him as a kid, and
in
World War II, I was so glad he came home safe. I was really in love with him, and I loved him as an older person. He was so cute. I adored him. I wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think he's like the worst. I think Ronald Reagan was the beginning of a bad time for America.
Well, just a minute. I was watching television when he was president. He had two more years to go to finish his term, I remember. And he was on television. I remember there was like a mental kind of railing with people there waving for him. He was going to an airplane. And I was reading, and... he was waving, and I said, why is he waving so funny? And I looked down, and then I looked up, and I said, why is he waving like that? And then he happened to turn around, like full face. Usually you see him sideways, three quarters, a quarter, and our eyes met. It was almost like turning a corner, and you met somebody, and you came face to face. You went, I said to me, my God. He has Alzheimer. I swear to God, if God may strike me dead.
You knew he had it right off the...
So I said, the President of the United States has Alzheimer. And I said, oh, my God. And know why I knew?
Why?
Because my next thought was, he's waving at these people. You know, like you turn around and you wave. He doesn't know why they're waving at him. He's just waving like a child. And why? He was waving like up, down, sideways, like a child. I said,
and when was this?
He had two more years to go. And I remember telling somebody, I can't tell you who, and they said, how could you see Alzheimer? I said, I saw it in his face. He said, but Jackie, how could you see it? What was it? I told him the same thing. Then I said, he was like a child in a stroller. Who you see in a parade, and they kind of jump down, they up and down, and they don't know why the people are waving, but they having fun, and he likes it. And it turned, and I said, I can't believe it. They said, I said, oh, like 95%, I believe. I don't remember the thing. Then the person said, oh, don't you, Jim? Are you sure it's 95? Maybe it's another number. He thought it was going to go down. I said, 98 or 99. I am so sure.
Yeah.
And I said to, they said, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, they're going to keep it quiet. And I guess Nancy goes to meetings with him. Somebody must suspect
it. Chief advisor or whatever.
Yeah, they have to suspect it, but they know he's getting older. So maybe they think, you know, he's forgetful. Mm-hmm. And I said, you'll never see him after he finishes his term. You'll never see him again making speeches or anything like that.
Oh, my God, you were right.
Yeah, I was right.
So I want to ask you a couple more things. So how do you feel? So you've heard about, like, the Nazis and the KKK, and they're all the neo-Nazis, like, think that Trump is the greatest thing ever.
The
KKK and the Nazis see him.
Well, I know he said he has nothing against them. Trump in his speeches said
he doesn't speak out against them enough.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the rise of the Nazis? How do you feel that they're back, like, or that they have made
it's shocking. It just goes to show anti-Semitic are still around. No matter what a Jewish person does, it's always bad. I mean, I've heard many comments. Oh, my neighbor's is the Gold Star mother, and she's the only Jewish person who's a Gold Star mother. I've heard during World War II.
Well, I don't know what.
Like in conversation with people.
Yeah, they just.
They didn't know I was Jewish many times.
Oh.
You know, different comments. Oh, Horowitz. Oh, he's a lieutenant. Well, wouldn't you know one of them would get it? You know, they could. You know, like they paid off.
You think that every time they're like, you think that it's over for the Jews, it just comes back.
Well, it's coming back. It just goes to show that hatred is deep down.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot
of people are very, very very anxious to blame somebody for things, and the Jew is always responsible for everything. If they march for the black people, oh, they're always butting in. They're communists. If a preacher marches, if a Gentile clergyman marches for the black people years ago, oh, isn't that wonderful how he's sticking up for the black?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the funny thing, though, because, you know, I've been working with, like, you know, like Black Lives Matter and groups that are,
right.
are, you know, working. Because, you know, we are, I don't know if you're aware
you
of this.
You must be a communist or a Jew.
I mean, I'm kind of a communist, but I'm a good communist. I'm not a I don't believe in state communism. That's another thing. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I know.
That's a whole other thing. I believe in equality. But then that's pretty much what
I know.
Means. So I feel like, you know, you know, this is like it's almost like the civil rights movement is happening again because people seem to forget, and a lot of the ways the prisons work and stuff has been, if you read about laws and the way the 13th Amendment was written, it was written like
talk slow.
The way the 13th Amendment was written was like, oh, slavery is outlawed unless you commit a crime, and then what they do is they target all these like black men for petty crimes and put them in jail and make them work for the. So we're fighting to get rid of that kind of stuff right now, but I know I'm part of that, and I feel like a lot of people, a lot of different kinds of people get involved, but what you notice is a lot of the white people who are involved are Jewish, are, you know, Slavic, are, you know, Italian, are, like, not, like, Anglo-Saxon white people. They're people who have more histories of, like, family.
These are people, I lost you with
okay,
this.
Okay, so a lot of people.
Are they against the blacks?
No, nobody's against black. But what I'm saying is, like, the groups of white people who are working with, like, black liberation groups.
Right.
Are often white people who are not like WASPy white people.
Right,
they're
right,
like
right,
Slavic,
right.
Jewish,
like
people who have
run-of-the-mill people.
Not
WASP.
Yeah, not like the people who have been, you know, targeted historically, like the Jews, the people who are like more of aware of that truth that like it's never like, the anti-Semitism and the hate runs deep. So what I wanted to ask you. So we're almost at the end, and I want to say you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I've been sitting here with my grandma Jacqueline Blitz. Jackie, we're talking to Jackie, who was also married to my grandfather that was named Jack Blitz. So they were Grandpa Jack and Grandma Jackie growing up.
Oh, I have something you want to, I could tell you something about the names, the last name.
Yeah, sure, but I want to ask you one more thing, though. So I want to talk about the Nazi thing real quick. So you know that there was this guy who's like sort of a Nazi. He's like a white nationalist weirdo. I mean, he is a Nazi, and somebody
Birch.
punched No, his name's Richard Spencer. And someone punched him in the face at this protest he was at. And there was this whole crazy debate on the internet about, is it okay to punch Nazis? What do you think? What do you think we should do about Nazis, Grandma?
Well, I had to give some thought. I mean, if I had a gun, I would like to shoot them all. But that's outlawed, although maybe...
I mean, is that just self-defense? You know, is self-defense violence?
Yeah, well, you have. I could have self-defense before they attack me, you know.
Yeah, self-defense before they... Is that real violence? I don't know.
Well,
it's different.
Well, anyway, what do I think I ought to do about them? Well, it's a hard question because then you're taking away their right for free speech. Mm-hmm. But then again, free speech should not be tolerated. It's to incite mm-hmm. damage against other people or mm-hmm. group, you see. So I think the American civil liberties are at fault for a lot of things that are happening today. I think they went overboard. I remember 30 years ago, when the kids went to school, they carried a gun. Well, they slapped their hands and said, don't carry a gun into school. It's not nice, but you can't deny them an education, you know? And then I remember there was a few shootings.
Deny who, the Nazis?
Oh, no, oh God, I mean, no, about just... Kids, white kids or black kids shooting. I got off the subject. I'm sorry. And go back to the Nazis.
So what do you think we should do with the Nazis? Is it okay to punch Nazis?
Should we? If you feel like it, punching isn't a crime, is it?
So I'm gonna.
If you beat them over the head,
punching is assault.
I mean, you can't help it sometimes. Sometimes. Well, it's not a crime all the time. To the police, if another policeman punches his wife, they look the other way.
Oh, the police look the other way if they shoot a black kid who was sitting there.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you one more thing because we're getting to the end. Do we have a lot of political people in our family? Because I always feel like I'm the lone political Jew. Were your parents political?
Let's say my son David, he's very political. He knows everything.
He's so far right though. He's so right.
Yeah. Well, he has a lot of good points, but he's up to everything. I said, you know, why don't you run for something, or run?
Robbie is super political. He should come on this show next.
Well, he's political. He's involved a lot with autism organizations and stuff like that. And then there's Sharon. Well,
she's not political. Mom's not political.
I'm not that political. I have my feelings, but I'm not, although I was a committee woman twice. Not because I wanted to.
A committee woman where? We have like 2 minutes.
In Cranford, but I wasn't active in it.
You were just there.
They used me as a token.
The token Jew? Were you the token Jew?
No, a token. They needed somebody desperately. And I remember saying, I don't want to, I wanted to.
So we're coming to the last minute. Is there anything, or the last minute or two of the episode, do you have anything you want to say before we go?
Nothing's been very interesting, and I'm glad I was able to vent my feelings about certain matters and groups of people, which I hope people who are listening got it. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You want to say bye? Real quick, say bye.
Bye.
That was my mother, Sharon. So if you ever want to be on the show, you can email me at Took, that's spelled T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com.
Do it slowly. It's too fast.
It's too fast. Okay. Took, T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. You could also, you can follow me on Twitter at two, like the symbol, K-E-D-A-L-O-W, at gmail.com. That's not my Gmail. Oh, I just gave you my other email, but that's my Twitter, two, like the symbol, K-E-D-A-L-O-W. I'll have some, thank you, my grandma likes my shirt. There'll be tweets about this episode. Thank you for listening to What Would Save the World. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Maybe going live next season.